Hello there, I am Jenny Falconer. Welcome you back to the Women's Golf Show. Now, this is the golf podcast dedicated to women in golf, from the very best players in the world to those like me, you never know, maybe you, just playing and loving the sport. Now, in this week's episode, me and my fabulous co-host Beth Allen are joined by a very special guest to look back on the last 2 weeks of golf, including the first major of the year in the form of the Chevron Championship and, of course, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. We also have a truly inspirational story in this week's Iona Meets. Plus, I know you're excited, there is the return of the quiz that has truly broken the internet. That's right, it's par 3, par 4, par 5, and it is back. So once again, I'm joined by Beth Allen. Hi there, Beth. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well, thanks. Well, I am suffering from a post-masters hangover, but apart from that, I'm good.
A fun few days, busy few days, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah. I actually joined two of my friends who I met my first year on tour. So we've been friends for 17 years. And we watched Saturday and Sunday together, and it was amazing. And I so love, you know, sharing stuff like that with fellow tour members, and, you know, just being able to chat golf and watch the Masters is something that we look forward to every year.
Yeah, I was actually away. I was skiing in France, but wherever we were, there were still big television screens on ski resorts with the golf. It was amazing. So
yeah, that is
we
amazing.
Did not miss out. And with us today, Beth, we have a golfing influencer, a presenter, a campaigner for women in golf. She has a great eye for fashion. She has the jazziest leggings around. It is, of course, the Jazzy Golfer. Jasmine, hi there.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on here. Do you know, I always remember meeting you for the first time when we played in the Scottish Open Pro-Am, and we were with Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Do you remember?
I do. That was probably the best I've ever performed in a Pro-Am. So I remember it well.
Whilst for me, I'd only just started, and it was quite honestly the worst I had ever performed. I spent the whole day going, oh, this is so embarrassing. And then every time you took a shot, it just flew nicely onto the green.
No, that is not true. You hit fantastic shots that day.
And but you've only been playing golf for a few years, what, 5 years now?
Yes. Yeah, it's coming up to 5 now, which, yeah, it doesn't feel like 5, but yes, I have.
Okay, and what was it that made you want to take up?
So I picked up golf on a family holiday in Portugal. To be honest with you, I was bored of driving the buggy around, and they said, you know, give it a go. So I did. I thought, you know, played hockey and some other sports. How hard can it be? And it turns out it's really difficult. but I hit one pitching wedge. I honestly remember it like it was yesterday, that went exactly where I wanted it to go. And honestly, that was it. I was just absolutely hooked.
It is. It's that one shot, isn't it? All the others can be rubbish, but you'll always forget the good one. Remember the good one. Yeah. Forget the bad ones. And why was it you decided to then document the golf journey and start kind of sharing it and kind of make it more of a professional experience?
So it was always actually my intention to, you know, after picking it up on holiday, to make it my hobby. I just fell in love with it that much. I was like, I really want to play this game. So I came back to the UK. I went on social media, you know, as we do, to see if there was somebody that I could kind of learn from, somebody that was an amateur. And there wasn't really anyone. I felt like the culture of the sport didn't perhaps marry up with how fun it was to play. So I thought I would document my journey and show people, especially women and girls, that actually golf is a really, really fun sport for absolutely everybody. And anyone. And that's kind of how it started. So it really was intended to be just a little bit of a passion project. I never really intended for it to be anything more than that. And it evolved somewhat.
It certainly has. I mean, it is true. It would be brilliant to get more and more women into golf as well. And I know that there are more than ever, but just to get more and to get younger girls, I'm desperately trying to get my daughter to be, she plays with me every now and again, but I want her to just be really keen and enthusiastic about it. But these are things you just have to hope happen, I guess, when they see all of us playing.
Absolutely.
But there is a great community online, on social media, on Instagram, on YouTube. Have you noticed? It just seems to be growing.
Honestly, it's wonderful. And I think the sport itself and even the culture itself is very different now to where it was when I picked up the game. And there are so many more women and visible women now as well. We see a lot more coverage. We see a lot more people and women and girls and juniors playing sport, playing golf on social media. I think really the industry is definitely going in the right direction. There's still some work to be done, but it really is showing some really positive signs.
Oh, brilliant. Well, look, we will talk about some of the work you're actually doing at the moment with the women's golf community, because it's fascinating and it's brilliant. And I'm sure lots of other people would like to get involved as well. Now, you can get in touch with the show by using the hashtag TWGS, and that's on Twitter or Instagram. We've had quite a lot of involvement already. Charlie has been in touch on Twitter to let us know that they have subscribed to the show. Yes, well done. Yay. Thank you, Charlie. And thank you very much to Helen on Instagram as well, who really enjoyed the first episode. Katie on Instagram says she's looking forward to see how the show develops. Well, let's hope it keeps developing well. And listen, if you want to be a part of that development with topics for future episodes, we're really open as well to suggestions. We'd love to hear or know what you'd like us to discuss on future shows. Just use the hashtag TWGS, which obviously stands for the Women's Golf Show. It has been 2 weeks since we recorded our very first episode of the year, and a lot has happened. Oh my goodness, Beth, I know that you have been busy. Can you run us through some of those main stories?
Yes, lots to catch up on and so much golf watching for me the last 2 weeks, which has been great. So since our last episode, we've had the first major of the year, the Chevron Championship, which was won by American Jennifer Kupcho, set up by an incredible 64 during Saturday's third round. The 24-year-old held on Sunday to beat Jessica Korda by 2 shots to claim the first major championship of her career. Another really notable performance at the Chevron was from Pia Babnik, the 18-year-old Slovenian. She ended 1 shot behind Korda for third place, and that has catapulted her into the top 50 in the world. So we should see her at the next major, the US Open, in June. Speaking of very young talent, the Augusta National Women's Amateur finished with a 16-year-old winner by the name of Anna Davis. A final round at Augusta National that included 4 birdies was enough to beat Ingrid Lingblad of Sweden. Davis becomes the 3rd winner of the ANWA, and of course the first one was Jennifer Kupcho. Another quick bit of amateur golf news. The conclusion of the RNA Student Tour Series saw the University of Stirling's Lorna McClymont claim the Order of Merit. She claims her spot on the international team for this summer's Arnold Palmer Cup, the mixed team match play event against the US, and that starts the 1st of July. Finally, a welcome update from world number 2, Nelly Korda. She has undergone surgery for the blood clot in her left arm that has kept her out of competition since mid-March. Nelly posted on Instagram that the procedure was a success, and she's hoping to be back practicing again soon, which is really good news coming from Nelly.
Yeah, I bet she's watched her sister play and she's like, I need to get back out there.
Oh, yeah. She would have been watching Chevron and thinking, oh, I so want to be there. But yeah, I'm glad she's healing and they figured out what it was. And hopefully we'll see her again soon.
Yeah, that would be great. I love the fact that you have just been sat down watching golf as well for the last 2 weeks. I mean, what do you do? Do you set yourself up, snacks to the left, drinks to the right, footstool in front?
Yeah, well, it was a lot of that this weekend watching the Masters. But like as I mentioned in the last episode, I am currently managing a golf course. And one of the perks of working at a golf course is being able to watch golf on TV while working. Uh-huh. It's been really fun. And now I feel like, what am I going to do this week?
Well, look, we're keeping you kind of talking about golf today. So let's get into some of the event news. I mean, we were discussing the Chevron Championship. What can you tell us about Jen Kupcho?
Yeah, she dominated. Especially on the greens, she averaged 1.6 putts per regulation, which is incredible, especially on the greens at Mission Hills. They're so fast and very undulated. It seemed like every time I saw her, she was holing clutch putts.
Can I just say, though, that the putting on a hole, I mean, I watched it. It was like watching a putting masterclass. Whenever anyone putt, there were putts from miles away that were just all going in. It was just extraordinary.
I know. Yeah, I can't remember watching a Chevron. I want to call it Dinosaur because that's what I was brought up. But I don't remember that many putts being holed in previous ones, and it was so fun to watch. It's always fun to see lots of birdies and the occasional eagles. So yeah, Jennifer certainly gave us that. Saturday, in fact, she tied the lowest third round score ever, having that 64. So that was a big deal, and it set her up for a cushy lead going into the last round, which was nice because she had quite a few really good players chasing her.
But what's that like then when you go to bed knowing that you've got that lead? I mean, that must just be quite stressful because you have to then deliver the next day as well.
Yeah, my three wins on tour, I've never slept on a big lead. I've always been close or came from behind. Feel like there's a lot less pressure. And interestingly, we heard Scottie Scheffler say about the Masters that, you know, he felt really nervous about that, teeing it up on Sunday. He said he cried in the morning because he wasn't sure if he was ready for that moment. And I think part of that would have been the fear of messing it up. You know, having a big lead is basically anything could happen. And you know, the last thing you want to do is have a monumental blow up and then it all just go away, which could happen quite easily in golf. So yeah, it's a scary thing, but it's also, of course, a nice thing. You know, if somebody said to me, here's a 5-shot lead going to the last round at Chevron, would you like it? I'd say yes.
Yes, I'll take that. Thank you very much. So in case you missed last week's episode, Poppy's Pond is this huge, big pond that the winner goes and jumps in. But this year, it wasn't just Kupcho that went in. I mean, she was joined by like a whole posse.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Got to do it in style.
Yeah, and several of the previous winners of the event jumped in, like, and the person who started the entire tradition, which was Amy Alcott. So she started, and then Patricia Meunier-Lebouc also went in, and then 79-year-old Sandra Palmer attempted to go in, had a bit of a misstep, fell, but then got up, and then sort of climbed her way in gingerly, but I mean, what a legend. Like she took it in stride and she got in on the fun too. So that was awesome.
I think the prize though has to go to Patty Sheehan who literally did a backflip into the water. I mean, or was it a front flip? It was whatever. It was a somersault.
That stressed me out.
At 65.
I was like, oh my gosh, please go in far enough. That could have been the worst ending ever.
I know. Yeah, that would not have been good had it not gone to plan. And someone you wanted to mention, actually, when we were talking about all this, you wanted to mention Judy Rankin, who people outside the States might not know so well.
Yeah, so Judy Rankin is a legend. She is 77 years old now. But was an incredibly talented player in the 60s. She's a World Golf Hall of Fame member. She's won 26 times on the LPGA. That was the last event she's going to do commentary on. So she was a golf analyst for the LPGA for 12 years. And before that, she did mostly men's tour events on the PGA. And she just has an amazing, soothing voice that I've been so used to hearing for so many years. And not only that, but because she's around the same age as my mom talked a lot about her when I was growing up. So I've always kind of looked up to her. In fact, she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at the age of 16 in the 60s, which was crazy to have a woman on a sports publication like that. And the headline was Best Girl Golfer. And yeah, so she's just a legend. I remember in 2004, I played the US Amateur in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I was doing really well. And she came up to me on the driving range, interviewed me, and I was like, I've made it. I was so excited. So yeah, I think, you know, we're going to miss Judy, talking about golf, but I think she said that she might, you know, do a bit of fill-in work. I hope so. But yeah, we'll miss her talking about the LPGA because she has been brilliant for so many years.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? You don't expect anyone to ever retire, no, because they're part of the program, really, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go on and discuss Augusta National Women's Amateur now. Anna Davis.
Yes, Anna Davis. Basically, she finished pretty early and she kind of watched things unfold. And sadly, Latana Stone doubled 17 and bogeyed 18 to miss out on a playoff. So Anna inevitably won. And Ling Bat finished second. Latana Stone and Lingbot are both LSU students. So obviously that team is very strong. But yeah, Anna's just 16 years old. She's from Southern California. Very esteemed golfer, but you know, we didn't know much about her until Anwa, and she had 4 birdies in the last round and just looked super steely and very cool in her zip down jacket and bucket hat. And I think that kind of caused riot on Twitter. Everybody was loving her, which was really fun to see.
And I love the fact that her whole family were wearing bucket hats yeah. as well. It's like bucket hats, but they are. So there's a golf brand, a well-known golf brand, who are now, the bucket hat is part of their new season summer look. So maybe the bucket hat is the thing. She's way ahead of us. Jazzy, I know that you like a bit of style. Are you a bucket hat wearer?
Do you know what? No, I don't think it suits me personally, but I absolutely love them. And I genuinely think, especially after this, we're going to see a lot more out on the course this summer.
Yeah, I love the fact that women's fashion on the golf course has kind of progressed, and it's no longer the kind of like really boring fashion that was in the past. Now things have really got edgier, more colourful, and people are kind of, well, they're breaking what was the tradition, I guess. It's not breaking the rules, but it's breaking what we expected everyone to wear years ago. I love it. Well, you're an example, Jazzy, because you're always wearing amazingly bright leggings.
Thank you. Yeah, I personally do like a bit of rule breaking sometimes. I feel like it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission sometimes. But yes, I think, you know, for me, I don't find trousers very comfortable to play golf in. And that's why I started opting for the leggings. And, you know, obviously the jazzier the better. I think, you know, injecting a bit more colour into golf is never a bad thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, leggings for me all the way. And if it's a bit too hot to wear leggings, then I'll go for like the jazzy skorts.
Do you know what? I would wear leggings, but sometimes because it's freezing most of the winter when we play here, I'm too cold quite often to wear leggings. I'm like, oh,
you can
God,
get thermal God. Ones.
Can you?
You can
okay.
get thermal leggings now.
Okay. Well, that's fine, because I run in my leggings. I could work, but they just say the marathon down the side or something, which is I have to get proper thermal golf leggings then. Right, done. I'm in there. That's it.
Yes.
We are talking a couple of days after, obviously, the conclusion of the Masters. The Augusta National Women's Amateur really kicks off what is a 2-week program around the men's major as well. So does the success of the AMWA raise the question, and I would like this, should there be a women's Masters? What do you think?
Well, the way I see it, Chevron is our Masters. Like, we play the same golf course every year, just like Augusta. All the other majors move around. It's a small field, similar to the Masters. So as a professional, that was always the way I viewed it. It's the most difficult major to get into. And, you know, it's an elite field at a special place, much like the Masters. So,
okay, well, that's us told there, Jazz, isn't it?
Hey, no, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I think for me, I would love to see perhaps a professional women's tournament on Augusta, but all 4 rounds for a major. For me, I would absolutely love to see.
Yeah, it would be good. I mean, it's just incredible to see all the women playing and to be given airtime as well. It would just be nice to get them given more airtime like the fellas. I'd like to go skiing and see the women's golf up on the screens alongside the men's golf. That would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the buzz around the first Augusta National Women's Amateur and like the fairway being lined with people as if it was, you know, the men's Masters. It was incredible. And I could just imagine something similar for a professional women's event as well. But obviously we already have one more major. So, you know, do you replace one or do you add one? Is that too many? Don't
yes,
know the answer.
6 is a lot of majors.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens, you know, because obviously Chevron has been moved from Palm Springs, so who knows? Houston isn't too far away from Augusta.
Now, I was going to say that we have, because, you know, we are the Women's Golf Show, we have a very exciting WhatsApp group, which is originally called Women's Golf Show. And on there this week, Ali Whittaker, who also works on the show, she basically shared this story. And I know, Jasmine, that you have seen it as well. It's a story of Autumn Soulsby. And it's just the cutest story ever. Would you want to tell us more about it?
Sure. So I guess for people who don't know, one of the events that makes up the build up to the Masters is the Drive Chip and Putt tournament, which is a really incredible junior event. And I think this year, the kind of story of the event was, as you say, 9-year-old Autumn Soulsby. So ever since Autumn's dad posted her swing on social media during the pandemic, and that video went viral, I've been following her golf journey, and it's just been amazing to see it unfold and develop. So she was adopted 2 years ago by dad Donnie and mum Jamie. And Donnie is a golfer, decided to see if golf would perhaps be an activity that him and his new daughter could do together. And when Autumn kind of first gave it a go at a driving range, she absolutely fell in love with it, and she was fantastic at it. She was an absolute natural, you know, you could say it was love at first swing. So then, you know, 2 years later, after playing golf, not only does she qualify for the Drive Chip and Putt, but she actually went and won her age category, which is just incredible. What a wonderful story. And then when she won, she was not only congratulated and celebrated with her very proud parents, but Bubba Watson was also there, who is her favourite golfer. And he also has adopted children as well. So he gave her a big hug after she won, and it was just wonderful to see. And the confidence that young girl has is astounding, and I really think we'll see a lot more from her in the future.
Oh, she is amazing, and I completely welled up. I mean, you can see that I'm a mum, because the minute she just like cried into her dad's arms, oh my goodness, when she found out she'd won, it's just so lovely, really nice. And she's so well mannered and so enthusiastic, and just lovely. And she said she's going to celebrate at her local golf club with all her golf friends and her school friends. Oh, it's just so cute. I love it.
And how cute was that picture of her when she was asleep with it in, you know, she was holding it in her arms? That was so cute. It was like the best story.
I really, really do hope we see a lot more from her in the future, because I think we'll all be behind her and her story. Mm. Beth, as ever, I know that also you have been keeping a close eye on the LET, especially the South African Women's Open. Honestly, it's all go. It's just continuous at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thankfully the LET schedule is really, really jam-packed this year. So there will always be something to talk about there. But miraculously, Leanne Pace won for the fifth time in South Africa, and she's from South Africa, which I think is even more impressive. But the real story, I think, that I'd like to touch on is the comeback of Becky Brewerton, who has been struggling for a long time. In 2009, she was a multiple winner, an Order of Merit winner. She's played the Solheim twice, but she started to struggle and lost her Order of Merit exemption last year, which meant she had to go back to Q School this year. And she bravely retained her card. For a long time, she suffered with the yips off the tee, which is awful. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but I don't know if I even want to explain it, because it should never enter your mind. But
I've only ever heard of yips in a putting capacity.
It can happen off the tee as well, where you just... Whoa. Get so nervous that you don't even want to take the club back. And that's where she was with the driver. She was even faking an illness not to play sometimes, because she feared she'd shoot a score that meant she could never show her face again. The good news is Becky has made a huge comeback, which is incredible, because that has ended a lot of careers. And it all started at the Justin Rose Series events, and she won one, and then everything sort of started falling into place for her.
Okay, so Becky Brewerton, we are watching out for you, and we are rooting for you as well. Jasmine, have you ever got to the stage as well where you think there's just something in your game that you just can't get to grips in, no matter how many times you go to the driving range, no matter how many times you go out and practice?
Yeah, chipping. Oh, chipping. We've spoken about the yips. I've got the chips.
Oh, that's a thing.
It's I'm really trying to get through it. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, though, because it's those little kind of chips onto the green. And I worry that I'm going to thin it over the back. And because I'm so worried and nervous, I end up not committing to the shot, and then I thin it over the back. And it just is that kind of cycle. So my putting has got so much better because I basically try and putt from absolutely everywhere. And for some of the people who might have watched my videos, you'll see that's very, very true. Like, people will probably watch my videos and be like, how on earth is she putting from there? But I am way more confident and comfortable with a putter from loads of really random and awkward positions than I would be from a wedge. So yeah, the chips is something I'm kind of continuously trying to work through.
Just play links all the time. You can just putt from anywhere.
Yeah, bump and run everything. Love that.
It is funny, isn't it, how you, when you get something into your head, how it doesn't work. I will practice putting. I will go out and I will be amazing in every putting lesson. I will get them in from all over the place. Go on a golf course and I will miss one from like 2 foot away. And I'm like, what? And it is, it's like a pressure you put on yourself. I guess if you're filming as well, or Beth, if you're teeing off and the cameras are on you, there's even more pressure. But does that mean that you're more likely to deliver because there's people watching, or it's more stressful, it's too stressful?
Well, I think one of my favorite tips for these sort of things is when you practice pressure situations. So once you get on the golf course, you'll be used to what it feels like to be under pressure. For example, you know, play a game with yourself, try and make X amount of putts in X amount of times. And so then when you're on your last putt and you have to make it, at least that feeling is familiar the next time you tee it up on the golf course. And as far as chipping goes, I think you kind of nailed it, Jazzy, when you said it's mental. So you know what you need to work on. But that you could totally get over that. I mean, and that's not unusual. I don't know if you guys saw Matthew Fitzpatrick is chipping cack-handed right now because he's struggling with that too. I mean, everybody goes through it. And you will be persistent, and I'm sure you'll get over it too.
Yes, I like that attitude. Right, positive mental attitude. The chips will soon be gone.
Yes.
That's it. The thing is, then once you clear that, something else goes, don't they? You're like, okay, I've finally sussed it. Oh no.
It's golf whack-a-mole, isn't it? It's like, yep, sorted out the chips, putting's gone.
That's it. It's basically what happens. At this level it does, Beth, all right? Maybe not yours.
Yeah, well, I'm trying not to listen.
I was going to say, Jenny, like, you've played in the BMW PGA Pro-Am, haven't you, as well?
Yes.
So, like, I don't think we'll be under any more pressure in our lives playing golf than that event. So if we can handle that, I feel like we can handle anything.
Yeah, I know. This is teeing off the first time in front of a crowd and just going, please don't hit anyone. That would be
yes.
And so yeah, I don't even care if it gets on the green or not. I'm just like, please just don't hurt anyone that's standing too near. But yeah, it was actually not too bad from that point of view. No one was injured near me. Was everyone safe around
you? No spectators were hurt in the making of this pro-am.
Now, look, as you may know, this year Iona Stephen is out and about meeting like all kinds of women in the game, understanding what golf means to them and the impact it's had on their lives too. And this week, she connected over Zoom with Rachel, and Rachel's a proud mum and golf lover who explained exactly how the game has helped her overcome an eating disorder that she's struggled with all her adult life.
My name is Rachel Ingram. I'm from a place called Hull, and I have not really had a relationship with golf other than through my husband. So golf wasn't a thing growing up for me, and it sort of taken over life. I now have a 4-year-old son who plays with golf balls instead of normal toys.
Brilliant.
So growing up, I played a lot of football, a lot of swimming, running, and I got injured. Basically, told you can't play anymore. And you get into that bit of a depression. You've not got anything really to focus on. So threw myself into my job. At the time, I was a travel agent. And dinner sort of became an afterthought, really. It quickly escalated from maybe eating a little bit of breakfast in the morning to not really eating anything till tea time. And then it became more a thing of not eating breakfast and not even eating tea, and just sometimes going 24 hours without even eating a single thing.
Over what period of time did this behavior kind of develop?
It started on my 21st birthday, I would say. I've always suffered really with sort of anxiety and panic and things like that. And then it all just blew up. Started having panic attacks to the point where I would pass out. And I was down to, ashamedly, 7 stone, I'm not even going to say 7 stone, something very low. And at this point, me and my husband, John, we'd now got married. The idea of children came up. And I went to see the doctor and he said, if you do not do something, your body will not get pregnant. And then if it, by some miracle, does, it will not be successful. And then something just went, oh, you need to stop.
So at what point did golf enter the equation?
I got to a point where I wouldn't leave the house. Very much so. I had to ring my mum to come put the bins out. I could not leave my front doorstep. And my husband, he got a bit of cabin fever. He was at my side 24/7. And he said, look, he said, I'm going crazy. I need to get out of the house. And he said, I'm going to the driving range. So he said, get your book. You're coming with me. And I did. And I didn't even read a single page. I just watched him. And I just thought, well, if you can do that, I can do that. It's one of his clubs and I hit it. And I don't know how. It went straight. When you're hitting them good, it's the best game in the world, isn't it?
And how do you feel at the end of a day that you've had golf involved somehow, whether that's 9 holes at the range, chipping and putting?
When you've got kids and you've got a career and you've got, just coming to the driving range for an hour feels relief. It just feels like I've done something for me just for an hour. It's different from other life. You know, the ladies will be going play out on the golf course with, you just laugh.
The slightly more tricky angle of my questioning now, how the story might have been different if you hadn't gone to the driving range that evening with John, your husband, how do you think your life might look now?
I wouldn't have my voice. Because I needed something to change in order to get there.
So if there's someone out there, what would you say to them if they need encouragement, if they're struggling with their own issues, whether that's an eating disorder or mental health, perhaps something else, what would you say to them to encourage them to perhaps give golf a try?
My mum would say to me, look, it will pass, this will pass. And that's why I have tattooed on my ribs, this will pass. And before I know it, like now, I am just leaps and bounds from where I was. Like say, I walk around 18 holes at the pitch and putt. Yeah, I can do, you know, on shift, I do 18,000 steps. And it's, and you think we sit in a chair for half an hour since. So 18,000 steps is, I couldn't have imagined that 6 years ago. So just one day at a time. It does get better. It does.
That was Iona Stephen talking to Rachel Ingram there, and it just shows you how golf really impacts people and helps people in so many different ways. Rachel mentioned the importance to her of having a laugh out on the course with other women that she's playing with. Jazzy, I know that you are currently working to help women in the UK find that kind of interaction through golf with the UK Women's Golf Community. So come on, tell us a little bit more about that and how people can get involved.
Yes, indeed. So the Women's Golf Community is, I guess it's kind of two things. First, it's an online community of women to support and just kind of be there for other women. And then secondly, it is an opportunity to meet other women and girls too. We welcome girls to play golf with. I think we've seen a great surge of more women playing golf throughout the pandemic. There are more women now playing golf in the UK than you know, for many, many years, if not ever. But a lot of us are still getting into golf through perhaps a male relative, a friend, and there's lots of pockets of individual women. And it's not always easy to find other women and girls to play golf with, because, you know, in comparison to the men that play the sport, there's still, you know, fewer of us. So I wanted to do something about it. And now we launched on the 26th of January And we have 1,700 women as part of our community already, which is wonderful. So we exist in a Facebook group. That's where the online community sits. And then the meetups are at driving ranges all over the UK. So at the moment, we've got 12 locations, all in England, but we're looking at Wales and Scotland, and then the rest of the UK coming shortly thereafter. And it really is, like, the meetups are just an opportunity for women to, like, turn up to the range, whack some balls, have fun, wear what you want, and just meet other women and girls to play golf with. It really is that simple. And it's been so much fun seeing just everybody enjoying themselves, and women meeting other women and making friends, and seeing women, like, swapping numbers to go and play rounds with each other. Like, our youngest attendee is 6. And our oldest, I would never like to ask or assume, but I would guess 60s, 70s. So, you know, we welcome all women, all backgrounds, all abilities, and girls are too, of course. Just to turn up, meet other women and enjoy yourself.
I love what you said as well. You've said it online a few times, actually, that you don't even need to have clubs, because that's that's a big obstacle for a lot of women. They want to start, but they're like, I've never played golf. I don't have clubs. So why would I buy clubs to go and try it? But they can come along and then they can be helped out when they get there.
Yep. A lot of the venues will have kind of sets that they can use for free. We don't charge anything for that. And if the venues don't have any higher sets, then there will be women who bring spare clubs that can support it. All of our meetups are run by the Hub Heroes, which are essentially either people at the venues or just women who are incredibly passionate about the cause, who are running it in their local communities. So they arrange that that side of things. But yeah, so far so good. And it's just wonderful to see. Like, we had even the other week, a woman who hadn't picked up a club in 5 years saw that there was a meetup happening for the first time in Manchester, and she turned up, and now she's hooked again. And that's what we love to see.
The thing is, as well, you're mixing with, you know, like-minded people that all want to play a game they love. So it doesn't matter where you're from or what you do or how good you are, to be honest. There's other women to have fun with and have a laugh with and learn to play golf with.
Absolutely.
That's really good. It's such a nice idea. Where can anyone find out more if they fancy coming along or joining the Facebook group?
So they can message me on social media at The Jazzy Golfer. Our Facebook community is easily searchable. It's just the UK Women's Golf Community, or facebook.com/groups/UKWGC. And Instagram, it's at UK_WGC.
Fabulous. Okay, right. Now, are we ready? This is it.
Just about.
Who's excited? I know that you are, Beth. It is the return of par 3, par 4, par 5. Yes, it's the quiz taking the golfing world by storm. That's what we're saying anyway. So how does it work? Well, I have some famous women in the golf world, and for each one I have 3 clues to identify who they are. A par 5, well, that's your easiest option. You will get 5 words in a par 5 clue. Par 4 has 4 words in the par 4 clue, so 3 words in a par 3 clue. And to raise the stakes even further, before every round you'll both call your par. So do you risk going for the hardest clue, or are you going to play it safe? So 3 points for par 3, 2 for par 4, 1 for par 5. For added jeopardy, we can also let you steal another person's clue. Okay. Oh. So if Beth gets it wrong on a par 3, Jazzy, you could take a par 4 or par 5 on that one. Okay. Are we ready? Okay. So let's start guess first. Jazzy, do you want to go par 3, par 4 or par 5?
I'm going to split down the middle and go for par 4.
Okay, in the middle. Okay, here we go. 4-time major champion.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's your 4 words.
Oh, no.
4 words.
Oh, it's so annoying, isn't it?
Okay, 4 times. I'm not going to pass. I'll at least give it a go.
Beth's like looking.
Anna Nordqvist?
Oh, it's a good guest, but it's not what we were looking for. Okay, so now this is where Beth can come in and steal. You can go.
Oh, she's nodding.
Par three or par five? Which one would you like?
I will go par three.
Okay, par three. Avid Liverpool fan.
Oh, that's thrown me.
Oh, you should have gone for the par five.
I know. Oh, Laura Davies.
Correct. Dame Laura Davies. Yeah. Her first win came at the US Women's Open in 1987 and her last was in the Dormoirier Classic in 1996. And of course, the par five clue would have been that she is a Dame Commander of the British Empire.
Oh, should have gone for the five.
Okay, right. We can try again. Beth goes first this time, though. Okay, par three, par four or par five for you, Beth?
I'll play it safe. I'm going par five.
Par five. 2012 US Girls Junior Champion.
2012. Jennifer Kupcho.
Oh, no. Here we go. It's yours to steal if you want, Jazzy. Do you want a par three or a par four?
Par four.
Finished fifth at Carnoustie.
Was it Louise Duncan?
Oh, good guess. But actually, we were looking for Minji Lee.
Oh,
obviously, in 2012, she won the US Girls Junior Championship, which is open to players who are under 19 on the last day of competition. And she finished fifth at Carnoustie last year in 2021 at the AIG Women's Open. There we go. One more left to go. And it is your turn to start this time, Jazzy.
Yeah, I'm going par five. I'm going to go par five.
Okay. United States Solheim Cup captain.
Judy Rankin.
Here,
oh, God, I know who it is. Oh.
Beth is coming in here. Par three or par four for you, Beth?
Par three.
Par three, St Andrews champion.
Stacey Lewis.
It is indeed Stacey Lewis. I mean, she was just recently named the captain for 2023 Solheim Cup and she won the 2013 AIG Women's Open at St Andrews. Well done. It's hard. I think it's really hard.
That's why I do better than that. I'm not going to lie.
It's actually...
I was at Carnoustie as well. Yeah. I watched them come down the 18th.
Oh, well, do you know what? Well done. Well tried. This is what reason why I asked the questions. And Beth, reigning champion.
I know, I'm undefeated.
That's it, undefeated from now on. Now, of course, we'll be back again in a couple of weeks' time. And between now and then, well, we have a return of the LPGA after a week off, don't we, Beth?
Yes, we do. Two events back to back on the LPGA in the next couple of weeks, starting with the Lott Championship in Hawaii, lucky girls. This was won by Lydia Ko in 21, who dominated and won by 7 shots in the end. Jennifer Kupcho will be in the field, so we'll see how she fares after a big win at Mission Hills. And next week, it is the LA Open at Wilshire Country Club. Brooke Henderson won last year, and Wilshire is one of my favorite golf courses in the world. If you're in the LA area and you can beg somebody to take you on there, it's worth doing.
Okay, I'll note that next time I'm in Los Angeles. In the LET as well, by the way, this week, the Stableford Challenge. Can you explain maybe what that is?
Yes, very unusual for us to be playing Stableford in a professional event. The only time I've really played Stableford is in pro-ams, mostly in Australia. So the premise is you get points for scores. So a double eagle or an albatross, you get 8 points. An eagle, you get 5 points. A birdie, you get 2 points. Par, you get 0 points. Bogey, you get -1. And a double or worse, you get -3. So what's different about this is normally if you get bogey or worse, it's 0 points. But the spanner is now they're taking away points. So I think tactic-wise, it's going to be interesting to see how everybody turns out. Because I would have thought it would be a format where you could be really aggressive and try and get as many birdies as you can and go for everything. But now that there's minus points on offer, then everything changes. So you can't be taking as much risk as you may be inclined to do. And so basically the person with the most points wins, which is unusual in golf.
Yeah. I think we maybe need to introduce then some minus points for par three, par four, par five, just to overcomplicate things there as well. That would be good.
I'd say that I'd be in the red. Oh no, in golf they have it the other way around, don't they? In the red is good, but
in the red is good.
You know what I mean?
And where is that all being played, by the way?
So they're in Thailand, and it's in the other is interesting part about the event is it's a mixed event, so the men are also competing with the women. It'll be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, that is it for this week's show. Thank you as ever to my co-host, Beth Allen. You'll be back with me in a couple of weeks' time, won't you?
I will.
You will indeed. And obviously, a massive thank you to you, Jasmine, the Jazzy Golfer. Good luck with the UK women's golf community. I'm guessing long weekend coming up. Will you be taking advantage of the gorgeous weather that we are forecast, and will you be getting out there?
I won't, actually. We are off on holiday for the first time in a good couple of years. I am off to Istanbul.
No golf courses there then?
I don't know, actually, but I won't be playing golf.
Not
this time, but when I come back, it is all systems go to address those chips.
Yes.
You see, we've got the long Easter weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is family time, but I am playing Thursday and Tuesday. So there we go. It's perfect. And listen, thank you so much, Jazzy. Lovely to see you again. I hope I see you very, very soon. I'm sure there'll be an occasion where we bump into each other on a golf course again soon.
Yes, please. I would love that. And thank you very much for having me.
Okay.
Nice to chat to you both.
And listen, don't forget, if you are listening at home or on a golf course, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the next episode of the Women's Golf Show. And do send your questions or your reaction to anything that we've discussed this week. It's simple hashtag TWGS, which obviously stands for the Women's Golf Show. We want to see your pictures if you're out on the course as well. Let us know how you have been playing. And until next time, goodbye.